last day surprises. We're all interested, and we've heard it. Every wonderful presentation has been power-packed. I'm sitting there and just amazed that some of these presenters have given so much in the time they did have. You don't hear this on a normal camp meeting program, not normally. Sunday laws, papal resurgence, you know, natural disasters. You're all familiar with this. But there's one word that we must keep remembering. And it's the one word that trumps everything else. And that word is deception. Jesus and Paul purposely emphasize that word, or its equivalent, in all their last day scenarios. I'm trying to make it simple. Because it is always easy to be deceived, the purpose of deception is to hide its presence, to divert attention from what is really happening. And we can emphasize all these other, what we call signs of the end. But that's where we may be deceived. One of the untold stories of World War II, and some of you in this room, I've been talking to Dr. Register, and he and I are just World War II buffs. We know a little bit about World War II, and his stories of the 82nd and the 101st at Bastogne and so forth, he could step right in here and tell you how deception is your major ally when you're trying to fight. Time that was spent in one particular house in England, and all they did was think up ways to deceive Germany. Remarkable men and women. And I can tell you, I can go on and on, my wife knows, when they wanted to go into Sicily, that was going to be a big jump from Africa. And everybody knew that the Germans expect them to land in Sicily. So all the codes, all the messages, all the preparations were to land in Greece. So the Germans poured in their divisions into Greece, and we dropped the men in Sicily. It was a remarkable deception plan. It goes on and on. Normandy, that was a big fake. Patton was over there opposite Calais. And they had dummy tanks, blown up balloons, big guns, blown up big guns, and a lot of evidence of divisions over there just waiting for the order to go across the channel. And we went into Normandy. Even Hitler and his highest command said, no, we're not going to send our best divisions to support that landing in Normandy. That's just a feint. We'll keep it over here because they're going to land in Calais. And that's why Rommel was so, because he knew how to stop them on the beach, but he couldn't get his panzer armored over there to the beach. He knew we were going to land in Calais. Well, that's a big story. We do these things. Satan is an expert at it. He never pushes something that is totally false. That's why it's so easy for people to say, well, what's wrong with this book? It's a wonderful book. It's done so much for me. And you point out some of the errors in it that could be most... Well, look at the good in it. Satan never gives you something that is totally false. Now, that's something I had to learn. It didn't occur to me in my younger years. His top item on his agenda is to confuse the world regarding the simple gospel. That's all I'm concerned about, as you have been listening to me. I have no great theology to spread into this world. I have only a simple message. What did Jesus say? What did he say about the big subjects? What did Paul and Peter and John have to say about what Jesus said and what the Holy Spirit continued to do? What he wants really to do is to blind religious people into thinking that they do believe the gospel when they don't. That folk, just because people use words, he's never been busier than he is today, especially in the Adventist Church. Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Why are they being deceived? Because they're looking for Christ. They're not atheists. They're not Muslims and Buddhists. They're Christians who are being deceived. False Christs and false prophets. These are people who call upon the Lord in their prayers. Will rise up and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. These are Christians. In some way, they've been led to depart from what was given to them And somehow they are looking for something fresh and eager, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. But they're church members, or they used to be. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. They're church members, or they want to be called Christians in any church that calls Christians, have a cross on the top, because they have itching ears. They go to camp meeting and want to find out what the last speaker has to say. Did you hear what he just said? Oh, and they run off with something fresh and new and attractive. And they'll reap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and to turn aside to fables. Satan never gives you something completely. Paul gives us a heads up here. He's been through it. He's not talking about what goes on in Buddhism, Hinduism, or he is warning the Christian church that in the end time, the gospel that turned the world upside down in the first century would become so watered down that the secret of its power would be better pay attention to. In other words, in the last days, Christians are felt need. Those are catchwords all the time in our Christian literature, rather than on the real. And as soon as I say that, you think of Rick Warren. You think of a host of others. One of the most fascinating speakers that philosophy in most respects is so encouraging, Joel Osteen. How many have seen him on? Now that young man knows how to speak. He knows how to speak on vegetarianism, too. Do you ever hear his talk on vegetarianism? There's no Adventist preacher that I know about in public with 10,000 people in front of him would speak so robustly on unclean food. Well, God must have been using those people. They will want our Lord's name, but not his character. They would prefer somehow. They want their religion to make them feel good rather than build up reasons for their faith. They have to feel that this is good for them. It's so exciting. They want to be spiritual rather than religious. Jude 3, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints, because the time's coming, and you all see it, he's saying. Not everybody's contending for the faith that we once knew. But they all call themselves church members. And Ellen endorses Jude's appeal. She gave us a deeper, microscopic perspective of last day events. You get detail here that you're not going to get anywhere else. Why, that's her job. Her job was to speak for the Lord as to what we need in the last generation. If she gave us platitudes that were good for 1700, it wouldn't help us today. At that time, many will separate themselves from those churches. And the context here is many in the other churches today that haven't caught the vision of what the Adventist Church is trying to say, because that's our burden, is to tell the world the truth about the return of Jesus and the kind of people he is going to translate and take to heaven. There is such a thing as sheep and tares. I can't say it otherwise. That's what the Bible tells me. In which the love of this world has supplanted love for God and His Word. Many, both of ministers and people, will gladly accept those great truths which God has caused to be proclaimed at this time to prepare a people for the Lord's second coming. The enemy of souls desires to hinder this work, and before the time for such a movement shall come, and brother of North Carolina, he will endeavor to prevent it by introducing a counterfeit. At this time, in those churches which he can bring under his deceptive power, he will make it appear that God's special blessing is being poured out. And there will be manifest what is thought to be a great religious interest. Multitudes will exult that God is working marvelously for them when the work is that of another spirit. And under a religious guise, Satan will seek to extend his influence over the Christian world. This is not atheism. In the revival of God's work, the prince of evil is aroused to more intense activity. He is now putting forth his utmost efforts for a final struggle against Christ and his followers. This is quite a battle plan, folks. The last great delusion, you see that word delusion, deception, is soon to open before us. Antichrist is to perform his marvelous works in our sight. I'm not talking about fire coming down from heaven. That's another subject completely. She's not talking like that. She's talking about within the church. So closely will the counterfeit resemble the true that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by the Holy Scriptures. Try and remember what the last preacher said. Try and remember what I've said. The test is, what are you reading out of the Holy? How could it be possible that even Bible-believing Seventh-day Adventists, even the very elect, will be in real trouble in these last days? I can't talk more directly or sincerely than I'm doing right now. How could it be that, oh boy, long-standing, Sabbath-keeping, tithe-paying, health reformers will be utterly deceived before probation closes? After all, people like that once crucified. We're talking about all of us in this room. We have been warned that we who know the truth should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. We haven't seen anything yet, folks. We're seeing the beginning of it, but we haven't seen anything yet. I couldn't talk like this 10 years ago. I don't think I could have done it. 5 years ago, I wrote a book or two that really forecasted this in Truth Matters, a book on purpose-driven life, and a chapter in Never Been This Late Before. But if I wrote those books this year, my, oh my, would I have put more particularity into it? Because it's there. The work of the people of God is to prepare for the events of the future, which will soon come upon them with blinding force. You haven't seen that, but I assure you, it's just over the hill. A storm is coming, relentless in its fury. Are we prepared to meet it? Don't you think we have some pretty good counsel here? Who else is talking like this? Who else do we know that ever had this kind of language to put in print? And then we wonder if Ellen White is relevant. I love to speak on Ellen White, and that's what I give my talks on. They ask for the relevancy of Ellen White. That's made to order for me, because she becomes more relevant by the day. We are living in the last days when error of a most deceptive character is accepted and believed, while truth is discarded. It's not that they're arguing with truth, they just discard it. When you progressively look at truth, you don't exactly toss it away, you just don't need it anymore. It's passé because you have something more interesting, because we're talking to each other, and in our generation we have to find out what's good for us today. Many are drifting into darkness and infidelity, picking flaws with the Bible, bringing in superstitious inventions, unscriptural theories, and speculations of vain philosophy. Wow, that is some sentence. It takes me a while just to drink in what she's saying, because she's right on the money. But it is the duty of everyone to seek a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. The importance and benefit of Bible study cannot be overestimated. And all the deaths of satanic skill and subtlety acquired, all the cruelty developed during these struggles of the ages will be brought to bear against God's people in the final conflict. At this time, the special endowment of divine grace and power is not less needful to the church than in apostolic times. Do you think they had a tough time? You know, a group of 12 and 500 or so heading out to tell the world about who died on the cross? You say, that was a formidable opposition. Well, not less than what our church today. The church doesn't need to know, or the world doesn't need to know, really, primarily, which day is the Sabbath. Primarily, their job is to understand what kind of a God is running this universe. That is where our attention should be. In the great final conflict, Satan will employ the same policy, manifest the same spirit, and work for the same end as in all preceding ages. And when he comes, let me tell you, he comes with sugar and honey. He comes with the most appealing kind of language and dynamic personalities on the platform that you just enjoy. You've got to listen to these people. They make millions out of them presence on the platform. And the books they sell, they're in every single Christian bookstore. And I'm not overlooking any, Henry. That which has been will be, except that the coming struggle will be marked with a terrible intensity such as the world has never witnessed. I'm giving you a front row seat, folk, on what to be expecting. Satan's deceptions will be more subtle. His assaults more determined, where possible. He will lead astray the elect. I imagine that most people in this room right now feel like they're among the elect. Well, God bless you. Look at all this from another direction. The threat of Sunday laws will not deceive Adventists. The world needs to know, but this will not deceive it. Nor will demands by employers to cancel Sabbath privileges, Liberty Men will help us where. Nor will scary movies and books surrounding the secret rapture confuse Adventists who know the Bible. Adventists won't be deceived by spiritualism. Oh, I'm sure that a good evangelistic sermon and spiritualism is necessary, but really, that's getting to first base. Well, I'm talking about second and third base and trying to get home. They know from their childhood or when they were baptized that the dead know not anything, that all the dead will be resurrected in either the first or second resurrection. Spiritualism will not fake out Adventists. And I know from when I became an Adventist, I was getting faked out in the sense that, boy, I better be careful. This spirit did a lot of study on it. The Harry Houdini picture, that's a man you have to really study. That man's biography is something. He spent his life proving that spiritualism was a hoax. And so I've been involved in that. But there's more to it, as I began to discover. So what are Jesus and Paul talking about? That in the last days, perilous, deceitful, overwhelming, blinding, relentless in its fury, that even the elect are at a risk. I'm talking to myself. The more you know sometimes, the more confident you are that you have it. I've studied so much, I know I've had it. That's just where Satan wants everybody to think that they've got it. Satan, the master of deceit, many hundreds of thousands of years to practice, he's real deceiver of one-third of the intelligent, but far beyond us in mental capacity. One-third of these brilliant people thought he was right and God was wrong? Come on, what kind of a mind is that that could be so convincing? He must have been a fantastic orator. We're up against somebody. Before the last shot is fired in this cosmic controversy, this world will have been deluded. Believe me, with the most promising, the most exciting, the most attractive, satisfying lies that we've ever heard about or seen in our own day. In all of its long history, said, we haven't seen anything. Just keep studying, but we haven't seen anything yet. Apparitions of Holy Mary speaking to the United Nations. I could just see her walking up the Hudson with a crowd, many, many hundreds of millions of people in the world. She's the mother of God walking up to the United Nations final peace plan that everybody's been... Or welcoming, introducing the Pope as the next speaker in his peace plan. And he has a fantastic peace plan. Some of these men in this room are keeping up with it by the hour as to how the Pope is reaching out with that wonderful mind that he has. Ratzinger was the mind behind John Paul II. He was a sweet man, but Ratzinger was his brain. And now he's Pope. And there are the men and women from all these various countries of the world listening to that one person that they have heard about for some time, and some of them love dearly. He has a peace plan that finally the Irish, the north and the south of Ireland say, why didn't we think of that before? Muslims and Palestinians, Netanyahu, are saying, whoa, incredible. And all the Hindus and the Buddhists are saying, we don't have to fight anymore if we can make this work, and we got the best men in the world on our side. The second resolution, the Pope will say, now this is the time, frankly, when we'll destroy our nuclear weapons. Let's have them all destroyed by the end of the month. And then the third resolution, and it's coming, folk, it's coming, ratifying Sunday to be the World Peace Day so we all can look at each other and enjoy each other. We need this for the common good. And I can go on and on as to how this is one way it could open up. None of these earth-shaking events that I've just discussed, I like at times to make a sermon on signs of the end, and I usually have what I just said, but I can't end there. All that will not fake out Adventists. All those remarkable events we have all looked for, but they are not going to be an overwhelming surprise. The Pope in the United Nations, Sunday laws, none of that's going to be an overwhelming surprise. So who are the Adventists who will be deceived and confused? That's what I have to ask myself. Only those who have not read Satan's playbook that Adventists have had in their hands for more than a century. It's breaking the Enigma machine. Dr. Register, that saved you a lot of lives over there. The Satan has only one fear, that people will be looking at his strategies. He will do anything and everything to keep Adventists from reading his playbook, his deceitful strategies. And you've had that playbook in your hand as long as you've been an Adventist. When I became an Adventist, it was a whole new world for me to read this book or all her books. He knows that when Adventists wake up and read again the laser beam analysis of his playbook that Ellen White has laid out, those serious Adventists will be his last and only obstacle standing between him and running this world. Adventists who are well aware of Satan's end time playbook will be the ones that thousands upon thousands of 11th hour Sunday keepers saying, come out of her, my people. This is where our privilege is, folks, our destiny, our Adventist responsibility. What could be more exciting than this? These 11th hour workers, right now they're judges, prosecutors, defense attorneys, congressmen, businessmen, physicians all over this world who are they're so dedicated to what they're doing. They're not part of the collusion of evil. You have your boys and girls who know all this in their head, but somehow they're over here yet. They're going to become part of the 11th hour workers. When they see all this that mom and dad have told them for so many years, whoa, I guess mom and dad are finally right. Those who will come during the 11th hour will be more than take the places of the Sabbath keeping, tithes paying, health reforming church members who are blinded by the overwhelming. There'll be many Adventists who are blinded. So what will be this overwhelming? I know you're waiting for this. So what will be this overwhelming surprise we're talking about? Am I right? That's what you've been kind of waiting for? They will fall head over heels into new spirituality. Brad, Ed, you see it already? Your area. The tsunami, I call it, of the emerging church, and that's the catchphrase that is rolling over most Protestant churches today. Now let's take a time out. We've got to make a distinction. Spiritualism, as usually known, will never fake out Adventists. But it's even more crafty and deceitful twin sister that we call new spirituality is far more bewitching and believable. Too many Adventists are already memorized. I'm sure I'm not going to make any public accusations or pointing fingers or anything. I'm just trying to paint a big picture. We must distinguish between age-old spiritualism and what we mean by rampant new spirituality. That's mesmerizing this church and energizing some of our churches and some of our conferences. Spiritualism is the open appeal to find reality, God, whatever you want to call this other world, cosmic consciousness, through the direct contact with the other world. It could be through channeling, Ouija boards, seances, certain kinds of extrasensory perception. Boy, you could buy Ouija boards most any place. Extrasensory perception, all kinds of stuff like that is so common these days. I remember when I first became an Adventist, I suddenly became aware of that house at the end of the street that every Friday night was dark and had only candles. And my mom and dad said, that's spiritualism. I had no idea what was going on in there. But that was spiritualism. This is not what we're talking about today. new spirituality doesn't go in that direction, although it has much in common with spiritualism, because both movements believe in the immortal soul, generally, and both deny the final authority of Scripture. So to that extent, but that's about all. New spirituality is far more subtle, deceptive, and attractive. It is attractive. Today we live, as some of you have already mentioned, in more detail, postmodern fog. So-called modern era was a time of rational thinking based on factual observation, ending around the 1960s. Now, we were not part of that modern movement at that time. We believe that the Bible trumped all rational thinking, that thought of all kinds of conclusions that you couldn't find in here. But we still weren't part of that modern. But whoa, not the best time for Bible-based thinking either, but postmodern fog is much worse. Because we move beyond the rational and the factual, because now it's not we're arguing over this and that. Theology, that was passe, but we want spiritual experience. We want that sense of knowing that we are linked to each other and we have the common vibration that God is within us. And we know that because we're talking about Him. We find that wonderful experience being together, schools, high schools, and up. Certainly universities teach that all things are in the mind of the beholder. No absolute truths, no more black and white. Whatever may be right for you may be only opinion for someone else. So let's drop all these things that divide us and look upon us as just common people in love with life, in love with the ocean and the sky, and in love with each other no matter who we are. Many church members are looking for ways to reach this postmodern generation. Don't you think we've got to reach them? So I'm not blaming anybody who feels like we have to do something to reach out to these people all around us. So we start up by looking at the appropriate methods. We've got to find the right methods of talking to these people. And this is very important, without changing our message. Bad delusion. Bad delusion. We start out with good intentions, but the end product is devastating every time it's tried. Maybe short-time excitement. Maybe you'll have some extra church planting here and there, but it always ends up with, and I don't want to get into how they end up because they're ending up that way all around us. It's long-term disaster. You have to ask, who are the new spirituality or emerging church leaders? And I could talk for hours on this. I'm not. Here's a small list of these leaders, and you probably recognize some of these names, and I could talk about any one of them. I'm not going to read them off. You see names that you've read about. Scott Peck, you've got his books that go back to the 70s. Come on, help me. I just forgot the name. The Unloved. The World Less Traveled. That was a marvelous book until I got to the third chapter. And then I saw, whoa, where's this guy going? But that was a bestseller for months and months and months. And he's got one book out that I say is the best he ever wrote, and that was the one on evil that I have used many times in support of my thinking on how to deal with evil. But he was way out there. Every year he lived is way out there further. These are names, every one of them you've read something about. This is the second wave that came on, somewhat younger. Foster and Willard, you see those names in there. These people are just charmers. Why? They charm our Adventist audiences and our universe. They just are very lovable people. And they say things about Adventists who worry about commandment keeping, that these fellows are way beyond that. They're so gracious. You'll find all this in my books, so don't try to copy them. They're recognized as the most influential men and women in this country today. Every time you want to get a list by Newsweek or Time, U.S. News and World Report, the 25 most influential people, half of these are on that list. They're smothering college campuses everywhere. Delightful speakers. And what they're experiencing, they're sharing, and it sounds so... How could anybody deny the fact that they have some truth here? Much of what they say is indeed appealing. After all, look at the books they sell. The bottom line, however, is that their focus and emphasis are light years removed from biblical teaching. even though what they say and write is marvelously wrapped in biblical language. I could talk for some time on this overlapping language. Same language is like a freight train of truth. But they put their label on each car that this is grace and this is faith and this is truth. What's inside of their car is different than what you would expect from a Bible-believing person. But they use the same words. Amazing. Many publishing houses are making huge bestsellers out of these. And these are the publishing houses. Everybody's used to these, for Christian ones especially. Zondervan, InterVarsity, The Navigators, Multnomah, Integrity, Thomas Nelson, Bethany House, Harper's. And many of these books are in every Christian bookstore. Here are some well-researched, credible books that will give their readers a fair appraisal. Now, you could write this down unless you write... I don't know who wants to, but these are all material that you can find in these pages. And every ABC has these books, but I know you can't want, you don't want to write all these down now, but names like Roger Oakland, Ray Youngen, Gary Gilley, and Warren Smith, but this here, publishing house, can everybody see that website? I didn't know if that was going to show up here. www.lighthousetrails.com. You can write that down. Just write for their materials and you'll be getting stuff that will flood you with stuff you can count on. Now, how did this happen so fast? How come in the last, as far as Advent is concerned, probably no more than 8 years ago that I can put my finger on it? The last word is deception. That's why it happened so fast. You don't see it coming. Don't expect it. New spirituality, the slickest, most persuasive deceit of all of Satan's strategies in the end time. Far surpassing the stumbling blocks of the papacy during the Middle Ages. That was pretty rough on truth. Who tried to live valiant lives during the Middle Ages. And the Waldenses especially is a good example. Far surpassing the mixed messages of the gallant reformers. When people say, let's get back to the Reformation, I say, well, which one? Because they're all fighting among themselves. And I never could figure out how theologians today, because they don't study enough, well, the reformers. That's amazing when they appeal to the reformers, when each one of them were fighting among themselves and completely caught Protestants in the late 20th century by surprise. Protestant churches never saw this come. At least Protestants in the 20th century were generally defenders of the authority of the Bible. But I think I have something from, John MacArthur. Has anybody read any of his Presbyterian down in Southern California? He writes books. I guess every sermon becomes a chapter in a book, and he writes so, and on most subjects. And his only problem is he often argues with himself on free will and predestination, and he hasn't solved that problem in his own mind yet. But listen, the evangelical consensus has shifted decidedly in the past two decades. Our collective messages are now short on doctrine and long on experience. Thinking is deemed less important. The love of sound doctrine that has always been a distinguishing characteristic of evangelicalism has all but disappeared. And a dose of mysticism to this mix, and you have a recipe for unmitigated spiritual disaster. I mean, he was almost by himself in 1900. So New Age thought, that's one way that you could morph into new spirituality. And that takes about 100 pages to really describe how that happened among very well-known names. Invaded both Protestant and some Catholic churches as a new way of looking at the gospel. They're not trying to give you a new gospel. They're just helping you to see the real gospel. New spirituality does not attack Christianity. I know this is news for some people, but it does not attack. They simply say that they are only reinventing it, put it into language that young people today can understand. Tickle the ears, as Paul put it. Do not realize that they are full of cancer, but live on in bliss with their new age anesthetic. So how do we recognize it as Adventists? First, let's listen to some of those key characteristics and some of those insider germs used by new spirituality or the emerging church movements. Now, this Don't take notes. It's so much right now. I'm just throwing it at you. But I have a chapter in Dramatic Prophecies of Ellen White. You'll have all that I'm going to say now. This may be over. You know, this is too much for all you people to be trying to capture it in your writing. I just want you to get the sense of what we're up against. The Bible no longer ultimate authority. Bible dumbed down with sudden silence of words like repentance and judgment. I've got a church about 15 miles away from our church, and people like to go there real well, but you never hear the word great preacher. More emphasis upon images, stories. That's where the Catholic Eucharistic, more emphasis on what's in it for me in the here and now. More emphasis upon kingdom of God on earth. And who talked about that? I think several talks on that already, rather than on Christ returning. Many bridges established that lead to unity with the Roman Catholic Church. Christianity needs to be reinvented to provide meaning for the trend toward ecumenical unity for world peace. Many ways to find God. Lightly tripping over the important points. Key ideas, ancient, future. But they have cover stories on the ancient modern. They love that phrase. And in the last 2 years now, I've been pumping this stuff out. So attractive. If I weren't aware of what I'm listening to, watching happen, I'd be taken in by it myself. It's so engaging. But ancient modern means if you want to find out what the future, to go back to the roots of our Christian church in the Desert Fathers. And those who were in the word anti-Nicene fathers prior to 325 and then the post-Nicene fathers. And it's bewitching, folk. You read the material and this is fresh stuff. Church members who resist or question are reprimanded, called divisive, and asked to leave. And that goes on and on and on in the Protestant churches. I'm quoting now, just 100,000 plus pastors who get his counsel every week. People finally don't want to go along with you. Tell them it's better for their soul. Underlying authority, a theme, is unity in diversity. Some of the insider terms used by New Spirituality, and I'm not going, spiritual formation, spiritual disciplines, beyond words, being in the present moment, slow prayer, awareness of being, paradigm shift, the plan, new world order, outcome-based education, mantra, inner light, divine center, practicing the presence, dark night of the soul, centering prayer, just plain centering, contemplative prayer, spiritual direction, divine mystery, ancient prayer practices, yoga, palms up, palms down, electio divina, the Jewish, the Jesus prayer, prayer stations, labyrinths. Have you ever been in a labyrinth? Well, you can go to some of our young people. They can do it in a big room like this. Easy in this room to have labyrinths, and you follow, and you have little things to cheer your soul, 45 minutes. I mean, it's refreshing to young people. This is new stuff. What should Adventists not do? And this is, I emphasize this. This is what we don't do. We must not deny that many of our church programs are boring and out of touch with young and old. That many church programs emphasize doctrine more than experiencing a daily walk with Jesus. We don't deny that. That New Spirituality leaders are rightly concerned with finding genuine Christians. What will keep Adventists from being sucked into the bewitching appeal of New Spirituality? I'm going to suggest three core shields. First shield, we must understand clearly what we mean by the New Testament gospel. Understanding, we must rediscover why Adventists exist. We're not a church, we're a movement. We're here to end up a program that shouldn't last forever. We're trying to help people see the kind of people that God can save, wants to save, to an earth that forever will never say no to Him. They're practicing that on earth. It's not another church or club. We are a prophetic movement. We're trying to run out of business as soon as possible. And most Adventists do not understand. Adventists understand that the message of the New Testament gospel is to tell the truth about God so winsomely that truth seekers will want to trust and obey Him rather than fear Him. After all, I believe in academic freedom. I believe that young people have a right to hear the truth. They have a right to understand it clearly. And I can't even read these words here. I think the vice president for lights has not done his job. I can't see what's happening. If anybody can read that, help me out. Must be very important. Adventists understand that the purpose of the gospel is to restore in man what sin has defaced. They understand that the purpose of the Adventist message is to prepare people for translation, not merely to live 10 years longer. You've heard me say that at least 5 times. Careful biblical students understand the remarkable ellipse of truth, such as revealed in a glass of water. If one wants a drink, he does not ask for hydrogen or oxygen. If you want water, you can't have one without the other. And the ellipse principle underlies all biblical truths. Salvation ellipse needs grace and faith. And I had a red light here, but it won't go on. But anyhow, ellipse is always grace and faith. Faith responds to grace. Grace doesn't even work or happen until somebody responds. The responsible person is one who is able to respond to the God who is calling him as a good waiting father, always waiting for his kids to come home. He reaches out his goal and people respond. That's the gospel of the ellipse. There's no paradox here. Lots of other paradoxes, but not here. Our Lord's death on the cross, equally important as his high priest ministry, sacrifice, mediator. We went over that yesterday, but I keep reminding you that righteousness by faith embraces justification. Not in opposition and not in some kind of a different relationship. Part of faith that is responding to God. Simple New Testament teaching restored. The why of the rise of the Adventist movement. I'm saying all this because people who understand this are not going to be sucked in by the emerging church. Protestants had separated their lips and made 2 circles out of all the basic truths. That's why we have so many denominations. Well, getting the full gospel truth before Adventists today is the most important item on anybody's agenda. It should be the first item on the General Conference agenda every Thursday. Every board meeting, every church, is the first item. Just to keep a check on our where the North Star is for Seventh-day Adventists. Board students and church members will suddenly wake up. Adventism is more than doctrine. It is understanding why Jesus has done what he has done and what the Holy Spirit will make out of grumpy grandparents into happy, trusted friends, short-tempered parents into winsome confidants, self-absorbed and sensually driven teenagers to guys and gals that others can trust. It works. I see it working all the time when they have the truth. Second shield against Satan's overwhelming surprise. We must recognize new spirituality when we hear it. You can do that reading Satan's playbook. Boy, you're good. Have I learned my lesson? Never come to Oregon and use certain colors. No one on earth has Satan's battle plan so carefully exposed as in the book, Great Controversy. Now, this is where it gets good. The profile of the last day spiritual counterfeits is clearer today than any of us could imagine. And we've been reading that book for 100 years, but never today do we really read her. And I want you to emphasize in your own mind, no one specific counterfeit embraces all the earmarks. Dallas Willard does not have all these earmarks on what he's doing or saying, or Richard Foster, or Doug Padgett, but they have enough to identify themselves. So if you look and say, well, they don't believe this, or they're not doing that, that's all right. Look at what they do say. Remember, Satan never pushes anyone so that everything comes out. He simply laces it, tempting nice thoughts that you believe in with enough error, such as the book Shack. How many have read The Shack? We've all read it. But you can see why people really, really love that book. People call me, relatives call me, Dr. Douglas, Herb, have you read the book yet? It meant so much to me. I hold my breath. I don't want to put people down who feel like they've been greatly blessed. So I try to rearrange a response. The basic components of Satan's master plan of deception and confusion that are present I'm reading Ellen White now. Don't try to copy it. Emotional excitement, a mingling of the true with the false. What I've been saying? That is well adapted to mislead. Neglect the testimony of the Bible, testing truths, which require self-denial and renunciation of the world. A wrong conception of the character, the perpetuity, and the obligation of the divine law, and has resulted in lowering the standard of piety. Assert that Christ, by his death, abolished the law, and men are henceforth free from its requirements. The hope of salvation is accepted. Oh, this one, you're going to watch it now. It sounds like modern Adventism. The hope of salvation is accepted without a radical change of heart or reformation of life, because all that would be legalism. I hear it being prominent. Erroneous theories of sanctification, also springing from neglect or rejection of the divine law, have a prominent place in the religion. Many religious teachers assert that Christ, by his death, that's better, that is of no consequence what men believe. In order to sustain erroneous doctrines or unchristian practices, some will seize upon passages of Scripture, the Bible is saying, many passages, seize upon those passages that tell them what they want, perhaps quoting half of a single verse as proving their point, when the remaining portion would show the meaning of to be quite opposite. She wrote that, we'll say, the last of the 19th century. Come on. We never really saw it until the last few years. The belief that Satan has no existence as a personal being, a masterpiece of Satan's deceptions to keep the minds of men searching and conjecturing in regard to that which God has not been made known and which he does not intend that we shall understand. And the theory of eternal torment is one of the false doctrines. A large class to whom the doctrine of eternal torment is revolting are driven to the opposite error, holding that the soul is naturally immortal. They see no alternative but to conclude that all mankind will finally be saved in selfish pleasure, disregarding the requirements of God, and yet expect to be finally received into his favor. After all, forgiveness is God's business. That's his business. He's in the job of forgiving, isn't he? Satan can present a contradiction so closely resembling the truth that it deceives those who are willing to be who desire to shun the self-denial and sacrifice demanded by the truth. The Bible is interpreted in a manner that is pleasing to the unrenewed heart, while its solemn and vital truths, love is dwelt upon as the chief attribute of God, but it is degraded to a weak sentimentalism, making little distinction between good and evil. God's justice, his enunciations of sin, the requirements of his holy law, are kept out of sight. Thousands deify nature while they deny the God of man. The line of distinction between professed Christians and the ungodly is now hardly distinguishable. Church members love what the world loves and are ready to join with them, and Satan determines to unite Seventh-day Adventists in one body and thus strengthen his cause by sweeping all into the ranks of spiritualists. Papists who post of miracles as a certain sign of the true church and power, and Protestants and worldlings will alike accept the form of godliness without the power, and they will see in this union, Papists, Protestants, a grand movement for the conversion of the world and the ushering in of the long expected millennium. You see, every one of these we can talk about for half an hour. This is Ellen White talking to me today. I'm reading it for the first time, all over again. So closely will the counterfeit resemble the truth, and many declare that it matters not what one believes, if his life is only right, but the life is molded by the faith. If light and truth is within our reach, and we neglect to improve the privilege of hearing and seeing it, we virtually reject it. We are choosing darkness. I have a number of chapters and fun writing it, but I wish I had. Third shield. Look at the world today. One of the core agreements between Catholics and Protestants, Ed is talking about it, our lawyers are talking about it. They appeal to our Lord's call for unity, but common values are grounded on social and political hopes and not political, biblical truths. Adventists, however they say it, counterfeit world, ecumenical movement, wherein the international forces will be united. I'm really, though it may appear to be impossible today with tensions between Muslims and Catholics and Protestants, Eastern, and the high disdain of skeptics and atheists, and they have many, many points. Skeptics and atheists have a right to be just plain giving up. With all forces are already developing to make this all happen rapidly. Papists, Protestants, and worldlings may unite on nothing else except a sudden and marvelous peace plan that everyone feels is remarkably workable. The Sunday Sabbath issues snuck in. This is my point of looking at it. The Sunday issue is not going to be headline. Adventists are looking for that Sunday headline. Look around. He's going to catch all these Adventists. Well, I'll give up this and I'll give up that and I'll do this and that when I see the Sunday law coming. Now, I've heard wonderful people say far more inclusive. The uniting glue will be the form of godliness engineered by Satan's master plan, the blend of old spiritualism and spirituality. What's that date? July 4? Just as I was packing up my computer, I got this on internet. And I said, oh, Lord, you really are giving me up-to-date stuff. San Antonio Express News. Thomas Keating, you saw that name before. One of the gurus. Science and religion have been at one another's throats, and that has begun to shift in the last generation or two. My thesis is that it should shift a lot more as one recognizes to that of the mystical experiences of all the world religions, and mainly the sense of cosmic oneness and interaction and communication beyond space and time. Science is discovering the oneness of the source of all the material universe as we know it, and by the oneness that appears in all structural forms of life, and then the oneness that the spiritual practice of contemplative prayer brings in recognizes our commonality, our common ground. And with all other human beings, this grand union will see that world crises demand a concerted effort for a spiritual conversion of the world. These global visions focus on restoring the lost dominion. That's a phrase that you'll understand in Protestantism today. Hear about the lost dominion means recovering this earth as God would want it, thus counterfeiting the prophetic biblical bottom line. The coming world order, or ecumenicity, whatever one wants to call it, the amazing peace plan, will be based exclusively on experientially based new spirituality. Doctrine will be ignored or disdained. What experience attracts and trumps doctrine, every religion of the world will buy into it. What does our Adventist radar say in 2009? Multiplicity of peace plans, distorting the New Testament message of God. Heavily supported by Brian McLaren. That's another name that comes across venues. Rick Warren's peace plan. You've seen this before. It is not going to be, this is the Second Reformation, what does the church believe? But about what is the church doing? And I don't care, he says, if Muslims are in charge of this over here, great, we're doing what we all want to do. Bring assistance to the poor, care for the sick, educate the next generation. And at his famous 25th anniversary in 2005, his tithe, he gives back to the church 90% of what he makes. This guy, a stadium full of people who are telling God that they will do whatever it takes to establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. What will happen if the followers of Jesus say to him, we are yours? What kind of spiritual awakening will occur? Neil Walsh, and I could talk a long time about this guy and his peace plans, all over the networks. Good old names do flee. Oprah, she has a following in this world that I don't think anybody else. These are the people who develop the kind of mysticism that Pope Benedict intensified in coming months. He said, love and devotion to the Eucharistic Jesus, that is the Jesus, and to express in a courageous and clear way the real presence of Jesus. Protestants love that. The upshot, it doesn't make much imagination to see how the emphasis in ritual, mystery, and sensory expression experienced during the new spirituality movement will emerge gloriously with the ritual, mystery, and sensory experience of the unified moment around the Lord's Supper a la Eucharist. That's a no-brainer. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. What is our present duty? Emphasis one. Satan never pushed anything obviously false. We know how to detect the error in the shack, the purpose-driven life celebration. Evidence from the beginning have had to contend with good people who believe that they could determine truth if we stay close to God and He will guide us. Ignoring that the Bible is a test of truth opens the door to being led by quite a discussion with a group in our church and the pastor. I have this because of the time. In other words, experience determines theology, not revealed truth. Emphasize, 2009 is much different than even 1979. If we're still in 1979 or 1999, you're not with it today. These postmodern allurements are very real, very attractive, very believable. Satan is real good. We must be exceedingly alert to Satan's battle plans. Oh boy. Clarify for students in all academic grades the purpose and goals of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's one way to get your attention. Research directs that Adventist collegians, know relatively nothing regarding church doctrines. How do we expect them to discern the subtleties of pleasing new spirituality leaders who use religious double talk, overlapping language that appeal to fresh, novel ways of thinking? Teach the assurance of salvation found in our classic Adventist position of righteousness by faith. That's pretty good information. Contrary to what has been sold to us for a generation who write books, who say that we recovered the Protestant Reformation understanding of righteousness by faith in 18. We recovered it. Hallelujah. They're missing it by 3 country miles. Pure example of historical revision in Adventist been a source of so much theological muddlement today. And you just have to keep your mind open to what's going on. Reject the almost prevailing theme that unfortunately cheered many Adventists in the last 4 years. Have we heard this? And it charms the audience. We can do nothing to make Him love us more. And nothing we can do will make Him love us less. And people just are missing the whole point of the great controversy, mixing love with accept. You love children, but you can't accept everything you're doing. God loved Lucifer, 1/3 of His wonderful angels, but He could not accept what they were doing. Out. Purely subjective thinking without biblical support, projecting a psychodrama on religious thinking, it plays well. Oh, that phrase played. Number 7, I didn't learn my lesson. Clarify in all of our media and pulpits our place in the fulfillment of last day events. Really go over what Ed is doing and helping us to focus on classic Adventist thinking, realizing that convergence of the last day perfect storm will happen when the church is really doing its job of fulfilling 24:14, and that God's eyes are primarily on the state of the church rather than the state of the world. That's why we have Matthew 25 in that same sermon that He was answering the questions to in Matthew 24. Focus often on the New Testament descriptions of a personal returning Jesus is not the cause of His delay. In many churches, Adventists really, if ever, hear these scriptures in Sabbath worship. Many do not know where to even find them in the Bible. Listen carefully to Ellen White's warnings in addition to the excerpts from the Great Controversy. Though we do not pay attention to heathen gods, yet thousands of civilized and Christian countries are worshiping at Satan's shrine as verily as did the King of Israel. Every day adds sorrowful evidence that faith in the sure word of prophecy is decreasing. And that in its stead, superstition and satanic witchery are capturing the minds of men. All who do not earnestly search the Scriptures and submit every desire and purpose of life to that unerring test, all who do not seek God in prayer for knowledge of His will, wander from the right path and fall under the deceit of Satan. She's writing to Adventists. These satanic agents claim to cure disease they attribute their power to electricity, magnetism, or the so-called sympathetic remedies, while in truth they are but channels for Satan's electric currents. Have you ever seen Reiki advertised in your hometown? Well, I can go on and on, a number like that. By this means he casts his spell over the bodies and souls of men. And those who give themselves up to the sorcery of Satan may be able to boast of great benefit received thereby. But does this prove their course to be wise or safe? What if life should be prolonged or temporal gain secured? Will it pay in the end to disregard the will of God? Oh, no. All such apparent gain will be at last proven irrecoverable loss. Number 10, recall Ellen White's warning expanding the coming deadly heresy she called Omega. In the book Living Temple, these are her words, there is presented the alpha of deadly heresies. The Omega will follow and will be deceived by those who are not willing to heed the warning God has given. Dangers that we do not now discern will break upon us, and I greatly desire that they shall not be deceived. Be not deceived. Many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We have before us the alpha of this day. Startling nature. You won't see it coming. You're looking at something else. The subject about which Dr. Kellogg was speaking was life and the relation of God to all living things. It was so magnificent. It was so catching, so alluring. At the General Conference of 1903, the test was Dr. Kellogg against men like Haskell and Daniels, and they took a vote. Do we go with Kellogg, or should we go with... The vote was 42. Daniels was chairman. How close it gets. Talk about delusion and deception. These were good, good, good men and women who were with Kellogg. Don't ever think that he was some kind of scheming, but... The way he would relate to people, look at the healing he did. Look at the people who owed their lives to him. Look at how much money he brought into the church and all of his wonderful work in California. Well, other mission stations he set up, never mind Chicago, with his great mission programs. People could say, what's wrong with this man that you're talking like this about? It was 42 to 42. In his presentation, he cloaked the matter somewhat. But in reality, he was presenting scientific theories which are akin to pantheism as of the highest value. These were the preachers who believed in him. One by my side told me that the evil angels had taken captive the mind of the speaker. Remember, the common appeal of both Alpha and Omega is that they'll lead to higher spiritual awareness, and that it will come with subtle allure, panentheism. That's the word she would have used, that word, I guess, at that time. That's God in everything. You drink the Jay Wagner, Prescott, never mind Kellogg, that kind of allusion to that wonderful nature around us, that God is in everything we're doing. This delusion, new spirituality, will spread, and we shall have to contend with it face to face. And unless we are prepared for it, we shall be ensnared and overcome. Just like that 42 to 42. I saw the rapidity with which this delusion was spreading. A train of cars was shown me, going with the speed of lightning. The angel bade me look carefully. I fixed what's on board, and that there will not be anyone left. And then he showed me the conductor. He says, Satan, he is the conductor in the form of an angel of light. He has taken the world captive. They are giving over to strong delusions, to believe a lie, and they are all going with lightning speed to perdition. Our last day super surprise will catch most Adventists looking the other way. You Adventists are pleasant neighbors, they're going to say. Noah, we've helped you build the ark. It's great working with you. You pay well. Your health benefits are marvelous. But look, why waste your time? You're just a great guy, but you're wasting your life on that crazy boat. Why are you so stubborn to let a few doctrines stand in the way of community solidarity and world peace? Don't you think our Lord Jesus would be most pleased? Noah, your wife is a great lady. Come on, you're peace-loving. especially since we all live through so much war and terror. Last day super surprise will be relentless in its fury. The world picture will be nothing like we thought it would be. Disaster if we had not been diligently studying Satan's master's plan. There will be an end to it. And Jesus is trying. His message gets through all the smoke and mirror that you hear in most any church today, Adventist or non-Adventist. You've got to recognize in a contest, you will win, but it won't be to watch the win. Heavenly Father, thank you again for giving us the patience. Lord, you be our teacher. The Holy Spirit's work is to be our teacher. You're good at that, Lord. And everyone in this room wants to hear you speak to them clearly of what's coming off, not 10 years from now. Thank you, Lord.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2009, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.